Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. There was an old Native American tradition for kids to enter into adulthood. What this looked like was a young boy would take only his clothes, just a little something to protect himself, and then he would have to go and spend the night away from camp and keep himself safe. You can imagine yourself, you're 12, 13, like 7th, 8th grader, and you're off on your own. Who knows what animals, what other forces, what enemies might be around, and you have to keep yourself safe in the dark and return. And when you're welcome back, you'd then be welcomed as a man. The thing that the kids didn't know when they went out, but learned when they got back into camp, was that the father of the child followed behind, watched over, kept watch where they stayed, and made sure that they were safe. Made sure that no harm came to the child, even though they didn't see and didn't know that they were being protected. You think things are similar for us in our lives when it comes to the protection that God gives us? Do you often feel alone in your battles? Do you feel like you're out there and no one's out there to protect you and you have to do it all on your own? But if you only opened your eyes or could see in a better way or could open your hearts to trust a little bit more, you knew that someone was there helping and protecting you. That's the focus of what we're going to talk about today, of opening our hearts and eyes. Are your eyes open? Are your hearts open when it comes to knowing you're protected and loved? Well, when we look at this, we're going to look at Elisha and what the situation is for him and his servant from 2 Kings. And in order to tell us a little bit, this is not a sermon that you've maybe heard preached on before. This comes up only in the for the festival of Michael. It's not in the normal lectionary. And so you might be familiar with the story. The chariots of fire is kind of a famous picture. But just to remind us where we are, I'm going to put up a picture up here. And one of the reasons to explain this is a handy little Bible helper. The man who designed this, I'm actually attending a funeral this afternoon for Dr. Lorenz. He's a man who taught at, he was president at Michigan Lutheran Seminary. I think he was president at Dr. Martin Luther College. He taught Hebrew at Martin Luther College. He taught at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary and was president of Asia Lutheran Seminary. And he was this man gifted could understand things in an amazing way, but teach them in a simple way. And he understand the Old Testament in this awesome way to really open up the Bible and to open up Jesus. And some things he did, he could explain and teach easy ways to remember things. And this was one of them. This is the handy Bible helper. And this will help us understand where we are a little bit in history. And so you can put out your hand and you see at the bottom is Abraham. That's about 2000 BC. And you have Moses around 1500 BC. The dates aren't exact, but the point is to help you with your timeline. Then you have David around 1000 BC. And then Ezra, the prophet, after the exile is 500. And then you have Jesus at around 0 BC, 0 AD. So it's a good way to just remember your Old Testament history. And where are we today is in between David and Ezra. Elisha, we don't have a ton of lessons and sermons about Elisha, but we know about Elijah and Elisha. Elisha followed Elijah. And as Elijah was carried up into heaven, you remember Elisha kept following him, staying with him, and a chariot of fire then carried him up into heaven. This is the time after David, and the kingdoms were divided. There was a northern kingdom, Israel, and a southern kingdom, Judah. And so we're in the northern kingdom, Israel, and the kings actually weren't even good followers of God, but here Elisha is still protecting the kingdom because the king of Aram here is attacking. That's present-day Syria. So we have this king of Syria, and he's wanting to attack and kill the king of Israel. But we see what happens. Every place they go, Elisha knows. And so Elisha knows where the king of Aram is going to be, and so he warns the king of Israel. And here the king of Aram is getting angry and upset. He says this, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" Because notice, it's not just once, not just twice, but time and time again that God had helped. And so he's like, there must be a traitor. But no, God was providing help and protection for Elisha and the kingdom of Israel. I think that's an important thing to remember. We're going to talk more about the angels that appear, but maybe it's good to remember that God gives us many protections. What are the ways that God protects? Here, he's using his prophet and helping him know what is going to happen. It explains how this happened. They say, no, it's not us. There's no traitor. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. God was providing a miraculous way to save the king of Israel. So how has God provided protection for you? He provides angels, but he provides natural ways of protecting you. He creates structures that protect you of government and healthy society. He gives us police and family and safe schools, all these different things that protect us naturally. He gives us his word. 2 weeks ago in Ephesians, you looked at the armor of God and how God has prepared you for battle. But we also know that God can save us miraculously. If he could use surgeons and natural medicine, we know he can use the natural means to protect you, but he can also use a miracle. And it's a comforting thing that he has angels to send, and he does, but he protects us in so many ways. And this is great to see for the king of Israel. He was being protected by Elisha. But we see what happens when the king of Aram learns this. He says, go find out where Elisha is so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he's in Dothan. And he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. First question to ask, though, is how wise of a plan do you think this was by the king of Aram? If Elisha knew what the king did, do you think Elisha was worried about these chariots and the horses that were coming? Do you think God had told him and had prepared him for what was coming? It's kind of a foolish thing of the king to think, he knows our plans, he knows where we're going to go, he knows what I'm talking about, but he's not going to know that I'm going to send this strong force to attack him. But we see someone who doesn't know the plans. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord! What shall we do? The servant asked. The servant of God, the servant of the prophet, did not know the plans, and so you can just picture how this would be. You imagine your morning routine. You know, you get your newspaper, you get your coffee, maybe you go outside, sit on the porch, Here the prophet's servant gets his morning breakfast, opens the doors to look outside, and there the hills are filled with chariots, this huge force. You see his reaction. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? What is his reaction but, oh no. Why? Because the battle is bigger than him. The battle was too big for him. He didn't know this was going to happen, and he was overwhelmed. He couldn't face this on his own. He's picturing him and Elisha and saying, there's too much. But he's forgetting how God has provided and will provide and continues to provide. Are there times in your life that it's the same? That there's these big battles that are going on. You feel like you're surrounded and there's no hope. Now, you maybe have never been in a situation where you're worried for your life because you're surrounded by a military force, but there's probably some battles and worries in your life that you feel surrounded and might feel quite hopeless. Whatever it might be of the battles going on in our culture or in politics, maybe your family, maybe health, all these different scares and worries and true things that cause us to be afraid. You say, it's too big for me. But yet, what's the response? We see the response of the servant of God. What shall we do? Is that a similar response that we have? We ask, what can I do? When the battle is too much, what do we look to first? To ourselves. How can I fix this problem? I can do this. I got to think of all the ways that I can do it. It's interesting to think that the king of Aram did not believe in God. He did not trust in God, but at this time was the servant of God, the servant of Elisha, trusting in God. You might say that sometimes, even though we are strong Christians, we believe in God, sometimes we function like he's not there. Like he's not protecting us. Like we're that Native American child that thinks that there's no protection, no one there to help us. A term for that is called functional atheist, that we know there's a God, we believe in him, but sometimes we live our life forgetting that he's there, that he's caring for me. We don't always believe that he's helping or wants to help or has helped. Because even in that, as we're encircled, we're struggling with the battle, we can't even think about what God has already done to make the situation better, what he's doing now and what he's going to do. It's so important to understand that we can't do it all and we need to trust in God. Well, how can we do that? Well, Elisha explains how we can do that. He says, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Simple words, but maybe hard to believe. Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And the word more isn't just numerical, but greater, stronger. And so he's saying, don't be afraid. We've got more and better things fighting for us. But the servant of God couldn't see, so Elisha prayed so that he could. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes, the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. We see this great protection that God had provided. And why chariots of fire and horses? Well, that's what was attacking them. And so this is showing the greater protection. He could have sent angels, could have sent forces to appear whatever he wanted. But here, this strong force, greater and stronger. You can see them just encircling Elisha and the prophet and his servant, and nothing was going to harm them. So what's true for you and me? God tells us to trust more than what we see. I think there's an honest thing that we don't think about the spiritual battles all that often. Do you agree with that? There's times that we don't see what's going on. I was just at a conference yesterday and went to a presentation about demons and evil forces. And the presenter said, if we could see the spiritual battles going on, could you imagine that? If God opened our eyes like he did for the servant and for Elisha, what would we see? I think we'd see angels and we'd see demons. We'd see these forces all around us. But we can't see it. And we look to the natural ways, and it's hard to believe sometimes because we just don't see it. And so we need to understand that there's a huge battle going on, that God is protecting you. He sent his angels to watch over you and guard you, to protect you in all of your ways. To trust, even when we can't see it. To open your hearts and to believe what's hard to believe, and to open our eyes and to see things that we can't see by normal ways. And so our Lord is there protecting us and giving us a hope and peace and encouraging us to trust in more than what we see. Well, how can we do that even more? Well, I want you to think about the promises that God gives to you about protection. Maybe you have some Bible passages that you remember, that when you're struggling, when you're afraid, you can go to them to remember how God is loving and protecting you. Think about this psalm in connection to 2 Kings. It says, this is Psalm 121. And picture the hills and the protection that God gives. It says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. What great promises that was true for the people of Israel, for Elisha, and for us today, that the Lord provides help. And how do we know that this is true, that God is watching over and protecting us? There's one thing to remember to see how much God loves you and how he's always going to protect you. In Romans 8, Paul writes about the difficulties in life and how God protects us. In verse 28, he says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He goes on then to say in verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here we see how great God's love and protection is for you. He sent Jesus, his one and only Son, to die for you. If he gives you that, he sacrificed his own Son to forgive you. And he says that all things are working out for our good, our eternal good. This is very important to understand because as we talk about protection and God sending angels to protect you, are there times that you don't feel protected? Or that you have experienced something that is a hardship, a difficulty? Talking about this, Paul says, hardship or persecution, famine, death. These things are hard. And we're not saying that God won't allow suffering in your life. But when you understand that Christ is for you and that you have eternal life through all of this, that all of these difficulties doesn't mean that God doesn't love you or he's not protecting you, but he has your eternal good in mind. And so that means even in death, even with the loss of a loved one, we know that God's protection didn't fail, but he's protecting them spiritually to get them into heaven. So open our hearts. Open your eyes to understand that God is loving and protecting you. He sent his Son Jesus. He protects you with all sorts of means, and he sends his angels to watch over you and guide you. These messengers, they share the good news at times. They protect you. But most of all, we hold on to that message of Christ, that God created us and loved us and has saved us through Jesus. So there's nothing to fear. Though our eyes may deceive us, though our hearts may be troubled, trust in God. Believe in what it's hard to believe because your God loves you and has protected you through Christ our Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.